It's 2 minutes past the hour. I didn't send an agenda because I want to base this call exactly on these slides. And we are required to provide a summary of the community feedback on this second public call. Of course, highlight any new proposed solutions that we might find in these comments. And, of course, continue our LA discussions. So what the larger group expects from us, from this working party, is that we summarize this input into three different areas. The first one being those areas of consensus, then those areas needing refinement or further details, and those areas of divergence. So I don't know if you have had the chance to go through the public comments submitted and through the Google Doc that I uploaded and that Greg kindly fixed in the columns. But I think that from my perspective, you can go through the comments and find that it seems to be consensus on that ICANN should be respecting human rights. I think that that is something that it's a non-contentious topic from my point of view. But what I do find too is that most of the comments reflect some kind of concern on whether we should be addressing these as a workstream one issue, and why they might not be speaking to this openly, because I think only one or two comments actually say that this shouldn't be a workstream one issue, but rather a workstream two. I do have the feeling by reading the different comments that most of these raise the concern on whether this might have some consequences on widening ICANN's mission, ICANN's operations in the day-to-day. So that would seem to me that while not explicitly suggesting that we should take care of this issue on Workstream 2, in a way, it does highlight the concern that it seems to be I don't want to say premature, but at some point it seems to be something that needs to be further explored. And that is something I think we should be discussing here. I know that we have focused our work in the previous meetings and the previous calls on the document that we are expected to deliver. But I think that is a good time now to, from the public comments, take a decision on whether we want to go forward with drafting this document, or we take a decision, or at least not us, but the larger group, we make the decision on instead of adding a bylaw that speaks on human rights, maybe add the commitment, because we need to remember that Workstream 1 refers to issues or items that must be implemented or fully committed before the transition takes place. So as I read through the comments, I couldn't help to begin thinking that all the hints from these public comments tend to take us through that path of not being able to establish some kind of language into the bylaws already, but rather commit further work as part of Workstream 2, but of course leave this as something that is being fairly or firmly committed by ICANN and, of course, the rest of the community. So at this point, I would like to open the floor for thoughts and for comments, because I think that this is, of course, my personal view. I'm not speaking here as a co-chair of the group, but rather just the rapporteur for this working group, and one more of the members of the CCWT. So I wouldn't want to I wouldn't want you to think that I'm trying to steer things in other way different than we have discussed, but it's just my impressions and my opinion on how I read the comments, I went through them, and my interpretation of what I believe that those comments are telling us. So I encourage anyone to please voice your thoughts, and the floor is now open for participation. Niels, do you have the floor?
Hi, thank you very much for this opportunity, Luis. And I have to say, some things might have not been completely clear to me because my audio dropped. But were you suggesting that there seems to be consensus that we do not have a language for Workstream 1? Because that was not my reading of the comments nor of the discussion that we had thus far. Actually, it seemed that we had pretty much commitment to a high-level commitment to human rights without a specific link to a specific document. And that also seemed what most comments were about. So I'm now a bit surprised by the change, but it might also be because of the audio. So it would be great to hear from you, Leon.
Thank you very much, Niels. And my feeling from reading through the comments is that we do have consensus on addressing the concern raised by the community regarding human rights. That is something that I have no doubt about. What has come to me as I read through the comments is that while most of the comments support having some kind of language included into the bylaws as a matter of Workstream 1, these commenters also raise the concern that because of us not having agreed into a specific language and the proposed language being too broad, these might have or bring some secondary consequences that would need to be further analyzed or further inspected in order to have a more clear view on where we would be standing at this subject. So, yes, I understand that it's kind of surprising because, as I said, when I was beginning to address the group, our agreement so far has been to include some kind of language into the bylaws that addresses the human rights issue, and I think we are working towards that. But as I also said, from reading the comments now, it appears to me that while we all support, or most of the community supports, having some kind of language included into our proposal regarding human rights, what is not clear to me, because of the concerns raised by the commenters, is whether this should be an actual bylaw change suggested in our proposal, or should this be a commitment to further work down this path at a later stage and after the transition takes place. So that is my interpretation of the comments that I read. And of course, that, as I said, is not an intent to drive things towards that path. It's only a discussion starting point for us to consider. And that's why I would like to continue to open the floor for more people to raise their voices, and we can further discuss whether we should be taking one path or another. Next on the queue, I have Marilia.
Thank you, Leon. Yes. Sorry, I was muted. This is Marilia speaking for the record. Well, I think that your interpretation is correct. We do seem to have a consensus on the importance of this commitment. I believe that if people believe that we should have this commitment and we are in the framework of discussing the bylaws, it is the instrument where the commitment should go into. I went through most of the contributions, and I believe that one or two raise the possibility for us to include this commitment in another instrument, in the affirmation of commitments. But I believe that the general framework is that this should be a high-level commitment that should be included in the bylaws. I think that the concern that people have is the concern that we also shared here. What is the best way to do it? What is the best language and the framing for us to do that? I think that for us to move forward, it is very important that we arrive at the proposal of this working party with regards to the specific language. I do not believe that it's very productive and useful for us to discuss the document and the different sections of the document before we arrive in a specific language proposal. Otherwise, we'll get lost in discussing aspects that, to be honest, do not seem to be very relevant to justify why we are including this specific language right now, and what are the issues that we have identified that should be further explored in Workstream 2. So I would say that the next step is for us to arrive in a concrete language framing and then to justify why we are including this in this moment and what are the issues that need further discussion. Another issue that I would like to raise, though, is for us that we're not in LA. The conclusion of the debate was a little bit fuzzy. So if I understood correctly, this language will be sort of reviewed by a law firm or different law firms. And I would like to know, to have more clarity about what is the role that, if this is correct, then what is the role that these positions are going to have in the process? When can we expect to hear something from them? And what is the process in terms of moving forward? I think that it would be nice to clarify that in order for us to have concrete time frames. And what do we intend to do in the meeting that we're going to have in Dublin? I believe it's a great opportunity for this group to meet and to discuss this specific issue. Are we planning something in Dublin, and what are the next steps in the timeline? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilia. And to your first comment, I do agree that if we actually come to the conclusion that we need to include some kind of language into the bylaws that addresses the human rights issue, we do need to offer the rationale and the thoughts that made us do this as a part of version one, and of course as some amendment to the bylaws. But what I also think is that if we do come to this conclusion, it should be as a matter of process after reviewing the comments that we have received from the public comment period. So this is where we might have some kind of divergence in views, since of course we were discussing this through our last meetings as a matter of agreement within the group, but not as a matter of a conclusion from reading the public comments. So what I would suggest now is that since we are expected to go through the public comments and deliver our summary on these public comments in Dublin, I suggest we go through the different comments that we received. And if the conclusion from this group is that the conclusion of the ALA meeting, which was to, of course, include bylaw language as a part of version 2, then we should, by all means, continue our work on defining the wording and the rationale for this to happen. And what we tasked, or what we concluded in ALA 2, was that we would be tasking the lawyers to provide us with an example bylaw wording on human rights, so we could have that as a continued point of discussion. It's not a starting point because we have already done a lot of work in this track, and we also have already paragraphs on our proposal that suggest some kind of language to be included in the bylaws. So I'm not sure if I'm getting my message right, but my sense is that we should, of course, accomplish our task on reviewing and going through the public comments. And if after going through the public comments, it is the conclusion of this group that adding some kind of amendment into the bylaws that addresses human rights, then, of course, we would continue this work that we have been done by in our previous meetings. So at this point, I'd like to handle the floor to Matthew Shears. Matthew?
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Leon. I think you've just added a clarification to what my concerns were. I've got the impression when you opened the discussion that we were already forming an opinion of the comments that had been inputted, while many of us haven't actually looked at the full range of comments yet. I think that we need to follow the processes you've just outlined. There's absolutely no doubt. We need to take into account the comments. We need to understand where there are points of divergence. We need to come up with a proposal, and if we can come up with a proposal of language, then that is a very good way forward. I think that is an expectation of us when we go through that analysis, is that we are supposed to provide ways forward. If it means support for option one or two that was in the comments, that's great. If it means that we may have to massage the text a little bit further, then that's even better. But I think based upon the understanding of the working group going into the public consultation, that there was an agreement that we should have language in the bylaws, and that seems to be generally the thrust of the discussion in LA, I think that should be a kind of our point of departure when looking at these comments. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Matthew. And I remember that I saw Tatiana's hand before Greg's, and then it came down, and then it was raised again. So as a matter of courtesy, if you don't mind, Greg, I would go to Tatiana, and then I would go to you.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me well? Hello?
Yes, almost too well.
Well, thanks. I first want to say that in the beginning I was a bit confused why the strategy shifted from bylaws language to a high-level commitment instead. Now I understand the reason behind this, but still my point I would like to make is that I'm very much against going back to the square one after all discussions that already taken place in this group. I would rather aim for drafting bylaw language, of course, after carefully analyzing all the public comments and everything, but still, I would rather prefer aiming for bylaw language and go for high-level commitment only if we have no other choice. This is the first point. And secondly, I agree with Marilia, and I keep saying this, that there is no way, in my opinion, to draft any explanatory note or any rational for bylaw language before we will agree on the language itself, because as we can see from the document, the last version of this explanatory document, that the same issues keep coming up and coming up recurrently, like, for example, adding Universal Declaration on Human Rights and so on. Let's first agree on the wording, and then we'll draft the document. And I do believe that in this case, this document will follow the simple structure, just explaining the rationale for doing this, and then the rationale for choosing the language, and we don't need to write a big theoretical paper about human rights and everything. But this is just my opinion. And again, let's go for bylaws instead of high-level commitment. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. And as a matter of fact, one of the concerns raised by different commenters was that while we in the group have been working on drafting language that didn't refer to any particular document on human rights, and we still had this debate internally, we hadn't reached a final conclusion, most of the commenters suggested that we should definitely refer to at least the Universal Declaration on Human Rights in order to, of course, have a more clear framework there were many comments received that didn't agree on actually cherry picking rights and leaving, of course, out of the scope of the proposed language the rest of the rights, but rather, as we have discussed, having a more wide and open scope for human rights. And in this sense, they suggested that we should at least refer to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And as I said, this is one of the things that we need to address from the public comments. So next in the queue, I have Greg Shatton.
Thanks, Leon. Greg Shatton for the record. I think in terms of the work we need to do, clearly the public comments review, which some of us have done more of than others, but we have no kind of concerted view of what the public comments say, is really the next task, as it was going into the face-to-face in Los Angeles. So just in terms of process, we really need to be focusing on the public comments. With regard to our overall work plan, I have no problem trying to see if we can nail down the language of a potential bylaw, or language indicating what a potential bylaw should say, before turning to what the supporting document should say exactly. I think a lot of the same issues will be surfaced in the discussion, regardless of which entry point we choose. For instance, should we include reference to a particular set of recognized human rights, such as the Universal Declaration, or more, or less, or none? Well, that can be a discussion that takes place when we're looking at the language, or can take place when we're looking at the document. Either way, it's a decision that we at least need to try to come to. So no problem starting with the language first. With regard to process with the lawyers, and had a discussion earlier this morning on the Working Party 2 call about this, I think whatever we come up with, and this is not just a Working Party 4 issue, but all of the bylaw suggestions, we should not be thinking of as the final bylaws language, but more as something that our outside counsel, who are skilled in the ways of drafting bylaws, will take and work with. And there may be drafting issues that we don't recognize in the way this is drafted, or unintended issues regarding substance that we haven't considered. So the lawyers will be tasked with looking at all of the proposed bylaws language and trying to turn it into bylaws language. Just like a client doesn't expect the architect to build exactly what they sketch, but intends them to build something that will actually stand up and meet code and be able to live in. A friend of mine once drew up a plan, and an architect kindly pointed out that she'd forgotten any bathrooms. So there are reasons to get some professional hands on this that are specifically tasked. They're our counsel. They're here to meet our needs. They're not here to independent. But the idea is for them to help operationalize these thoughts that we're having. And so, in terms of specific language, and as far as, I don't think anybody has suggested a long research paper, so I don't know why bringing it up as something we're not going to do really makes a lot of sense, but we need to give enough sense of what it is that we're doing here so that we're not just kind of aiming to go over a hill that we don't know what's on the other side. And I don't think that needs to be particularly long or involved. It's certainly nothing that's going to look like a research paper, but I think, clearly, but one of the things I get from the comments is a certain level of concern And the best way to meet concern is with clarity. Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Greg. Next in the queue, I have Marilia.
Thank you, Leon. Just say that I very much agree with Greg's perception on the role that the lawyer should play. At the beginning, I understood what you said, that they would kind of propose new language. I think that this should be the case, because the two versions that we arrived at, they emerge from a discussion that we're going to further enhance from the comments, coming from the public comments. So I think that their role in the process is more related to give an opinion with regards to the language than proposing a new one. So I think it's more like advising, giving their advice to the group than anything else.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Marilia. So what I suggest we do moving forward, because we seem to be walking in circles at some level, is we need to, of course, follow our process of reviewing the public comments. So for that, I would ask volunteers to go through the document on public comments and draft an assessment paper that we can deliver to our larger group, and of course be the base for our participation in the session in Dublin. So I would like to call for volunteers at this point. I can, of course, be part of the volunteer team. I've already gone through the public comments, but it would be, of course, a good thing to have more people to go through the comments and share a document in which we can build an assessment. And I see Ellen Blackler has volunteered. Marilia, you have your hand up. I don't know if that's because you want to volunteer or because you want to speak. So I'll handle you the floor.
It's okay. I was just following.
Okay, so we have volunteers. Ellen, Marilia, Matthew. I don't know if David, is that hand something you want to say, or are you volunteering?
I was considering, this is David McCauley, for the record. I was considering it, Leon, but my question to you is this assessment. We have another call next week, I know. When do you want the assessment to be done, or can we talk about putting this in the context of timeline, just because there's other things that people are volunteering for, and is this assessment to be done by the 12th or before the 12th or what?
Thank you, David. I would say that we need to have this assessment before our next call, which, if I'm not mistaken, will be October 12th. October 8th. October 8th, we have our next call. So I would suggest that we have this assessment concluded by October 7th at the most, so we can circulate it to the working party list and discuss it in our next call, because we are supposed to deliver our assessment by October 12th. So it would be best if we have this done by October 7th, then we discuss it in our call in October 8th, and we suggest any tweaks or amendments that the volunteering group should need to take or undertake to the document, and then we can follow the discussion offline between the 9th and the 11th, and we can deliver on October 12th. So I don't know if that's a reasonable timeline. Does it make sense for the rest of the group? But I think that if we want to accomplish or meet our deadline, which is October 12th, we should definitely have this assessment before our next call and then follow the path that I suggested. Are there any objections to follow this path? Okay, I see David says that it makes sense to him, and I see no objections. And I also see Greg Shatton has a green tick, and Niels has a green tick. but I don't know if those ticks are if you because agreeing to the way forward or because you are volunteering to work as well on the comment assessment. Greg?
Thanks, Greg Shatton. It's both. I think the work plan sounds good, and I'm volunteering. But a question of process. I believe, but not entirely certain, since my brain seems to be turning to pudding, that there is some sort of a format for the assessment. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, Greg. I missed that. Could you please?
Yes, Leon, I was asking, I believe, but would like to confirm and also, you know, see that there is a standard format which is requested of all parties for their assessment of the comments.
Yes, I do believe that that document exists, and I would, of course, ask staff to provide us with that format and to confirm whether that format actually exists. I remember seeing that format somewhere at some hidden key in the avalanche of wiki pages through the wiki website, but I don't have it handy. So, Alex, could you please confirm whether this format actually exists?
I see the so-called Zuck model being mentioned in the chat, which is the model that Jonathan Zuck used for the budget and strategic plan veto public comment,
okay.
Which basically broke it up into areas of consensus, areas needing refinement, areas of divergence, options for CCWG consideration, and underneath each of those enumerated, both gave a general idea of what would appear under each and then enumerated specific topics under each that appeared in the comments.
Okay, so I think that Jonathan's format would work, and I suggest we go ahead with Jonathan's format. We have already, Alice has pasted the link to this format already, so I suggest that we open a collaborative document in Google Docs or whatever platform you prefer to work on, and begin filling in this format with our assessment of the comments. Now, I don't know how we can build the document without, of course, having conflicting views, but I would suggest that we, I haven't taken a look to the actual document, but I would suggest that we make our comments in a way that we identify these areas and of course label them with the authorship of each comment, so we can move forward on building the assessment documents.
That actually was not done in the Zuck comments, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to do it that way.
And how was it done, Greg? How was it done, please?
Just a broad list. You know, for instance, under areas needing refinement, budget and strategic plan veto, the first one was endless loop, and it said 10 comments express concern over an endless loop of budget vetoes and reliance on the prior year's budget as the default. Number two, escalation threshold, 2 comments suggest blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so...
One thought that comes to mind, if you don't mind, is perhaps, and I hate to create yet more Google Docs. I have no investment in Google, nor are they a client. But
you should.
I should have, yeah. That along with the investment in Apple I should have gotten 15 years ago. And the domain names I should have bought 15 years ago. But in any case, I digress. The my suggestion would be to maybe take to either annotate in some fashion the human rights comments PCP2, is the public comment tool that's where they are, so that we can kind of try to put them into these four broad categories: consensus, refinement, divergence, and options for consideration. There are a whole bunch of columns off to the right, which I haven't actually found all that useful, I must say. But if we find some way to work with the comment extracts that are in the tool to try to put them in those areas, maybe by color coding or maybe by creating better columns, that's an idea. I don't want to get all bogged down in process, but that would at least allow us to collaboratively mark up the collected comments and try to come to a common understanding of whether something, you know, should be classified as an area of divergence and whether it's similar to other areas of divergence, so that we can kind of count them up. It's kind of basically a worksheet for the actual Zuck model, because the Zuck model is definitely, you know, does not correlate to the comment tool directly. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. I think this is a very good approach, and as David points out, this is something we could divide the work. We have 26 comments received, and we have some 5 volunteers, I think. So we could take comments each and begin our assessment on whether we have consensus, whether it's refinement or further details, or whether it diverges from what we have been working in this working party. So if we agree, we could just go ahead and divide the work into each of the volunteers, then have our personal assessment, and then in the call we could, of course, discuss whether we concur with the assessment made by each person or whether we should shift that assessment to any other thing that the group comes up to. Next on the queue, I have David McCauley.
Thanks, Leon. David McCauley. I probably should have taken my hand down, but the idea that I suggested of dividing it up, I think, has not carried the day in the chat. So, I mean, I don't feel that strongly about it, but I assume then that if we don't do that, we will all sort of be taking all of the 26 comments and trying to put them into slots. For instance, the board's comment is one that I recall most having read most recently, and that is they see this effort as premature. You know, that would be non-divergence or whatever the term is. So my request to divide things up, I think, is not really sitting too well, and I'm happy with that.
Okay, thanks. David, just to follow up on your comment with regards to the board commenting on prematurity of addressing this issue, one of the conclusions from our LA meeting was that the board agreed to actually look into this as a matter of workstream one and not having it labeled as premature. So I think that hurdle has been already crossed, and we can see that the board is in agreement that we should be looking into this as a matter of workstream one. And I do agree that even if we decide to divide the work into small chunks for each of the volunteers, we should definitely go each of us through all 26 comments, because that will, of course, give us a better feeling of how the community expressed itself in this second public comment period. So next on the queue, I have Greg Shatton.
Thanks, Leon. My suggestion is kind of a variation of that and David's and the comments, which is, I think that we should each, just as a matter of process, or for the Canadians, process, as a matter of process, we should each start with a bunch and then kind of go round robin and look at all of them, so that ultimately everyone has looked at all of them. But if everybody starts with number one and then moves to number 26 kind of all together, it's going to be kind of crowded. So it's kind of like, and I hate to use such a bourgeois and environmentally unfriendly analogy, but like a golf tournament where everyone starts on a different hole, but everyone ultimately ends up playing the entire course.
That is a good analogy, Greg. Thank you for that. So, yes, I think that could be a good way forward. And one thing that I'm trying to figure out here is that we might be short on the number of calls required for us to actually deliver and to discuss this comment. So I would now call for agreement on whether we should have another call, let's say, on October the 6th. I do see a couple of slots open that could do the trick for us to hold another call and, of course, continue the work in this assessment. But, of course, this is something that's just come up at this time, so I wouldn't want to push on previously commitments. But I would say that maybe having a call on October the 6th at 19 UTC, or maybe having a call at, let's say, 21 UTC, no, 23 UTC could also work. So I don't know. I'm opening this for agreement. Whether we could have a call on October the 6th, we'll figure out the slot. Of course, we'll ask Brenda to do her magic and try to fit this into the general agenda. But do you feel like we could actually have a call on October the 6th? I see Tatiana is agreeing. And I see Greg's and Marilia's hand are up, but I don't know if that's because they want to say something or because they are agreeing to actually have a call on October the 6th. I see Brenda is telling us that 22 hours is open on October the 6th. 19 hours is taken by Working Party 1. 22 hours, which time zone? That would be UTC, Niels. And, okay, so I only have agreement from Tatiana, although I don't have objection from anyone. Is there anyone objecting to actually having this call on October the 6th? I think that the slots open are a couple, so I would suggest, Brenda, if you could send us a doodle poll with the open slots for October the 6th, that would be very useful. I think that no one is opposing to us having a call on that day, so the next step would be to actually have the doodle poll filled in and decide, of course, based on doodle poll, which would be the most convenient slot for all. Okay, so we're having a party on October 6th. We're having another call. And next on the queue, I have Marilia.
Thanks, Leon. Just a quick comment on how to proceed with the evaluation. Something that I thought about doing for myself, I don't know if others would find useful, but to go through the comments and try to classify them, like the example that Greg gave, being in favor, being, you know, yes, but we would like to see more clarity in this particular point. If we classify them ourselves, I think that we can, in the end, when we cross numbers, like X comments were in favor, X comments were had this kind of concerns, we can compare the ones that we have classified differently, because I think that maybe we will have differences in terms of seeing the glass half empty or half full. So we can compare the ones in which our interpretation were different. I think that we are going to agree in most of them. But if we have doubts in terms of particular comments, then we can discuss that. But for that, we need to map
for ourselves where do we feel like each comment stands, so we can make this comparison afterwards. If the numbers diverge, we can go through them. So I'm going to do kind of a table for myself. If others find it useful, we can compare afterwards. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Marilia. And, of course, this also seems to be a useful approach. But I'm mindful that since we already have some volunteers to do this assessment, I mean, it doesn't oppose to their work if we each have our own table and classify the comments in the way we think they actually are, either consensus, need a refinement, or areas of divergence. So, yes, I mean, if you want to also circulate that table that you will be building for yourself, I think it would be useful. And one other thing that I think it could be useful for us. Okay, so it slipped my mind. So I'll handle the floor to Greg again. Greg.
Thanks. Greg again. I think some of the comments are actually a mixture in the sense that they have consensus with parts of the report and divergence or, you know, suggestions of refinement. So the comments, you know, will in part fall into anywhere from 1 to 4 of the categories, which is why I was thinking, at least from my own self, of, you know, perhaps color coding, you know, by changing the color of the text, if that's possible. I don't know if it's possible to do it within a single cell, or in some way just trying to distinguish which pieces kind of conform with which. And I think this exercise is supposed to be objective. In other words, I think we should more or less, you know, come to the same conclusions, regardless of what our opinions are of any particular opinion, comment, whether we agree or disagree with it personally. We should be able to tell whether it diverges from our proposal in the second draft report, for instance. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. One thing that I would definitely encourage you all to do is to fill in the doodle poll as soon as it gets to your inbox, because we would need it. And I would also kindly ask you to mute your mics if you're not speaking. So as soon as you get the doodle poll in your inbox, it would be very useful if you could fill it out as soon as possible, because we need to, of course, plan the meeting with staff. They need to make all the arrangements that for us to actually hold the call. So I think we can move forward. I think we have agreement on how to, what are our next steps with regards to analyzing the public comments. Of course, we would be making this assessment and discussing it in our call on the 6th, and hopefully having a final version by October the 7th, and having any final tweaks done in our call on October 8th, so we can deliver by October 12th as it is expected. Greg, is that a new hand or an old hand?
Old hand, sorry.
Okay. So next in the queue, I have Cavus. Cavus, could you please take the floor?
Yes, hello, Leon. I see timetable or the schedule. Please kindly be sure that we should not have overlapping between the meeting, and we should have some little space between the two meetings. One immediately after the other would not be effective for very, dynamic people like Greg and Steve and Nick. They participate in all meetings. They may be very energetic and very powerful people, but we are not like them. We need a little bit of time between the two meetings. I had one this afternoon. I had another one, and it is limited. Our capacity is limited. The man's brain is half a capacity, which sometimes may be saturated. So they would not accept any more things. So please kindly arrange that. We are rushing and rushing and rushing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. This is a very good point, and I assure you that our meeting fairy, who is Brenda, will make her best effort to send the slots that will, of course, provide the best times and, of course, also, if it's possible, time between meetings so anyone can have a break and not have one call after another. So, Brenda, could you please look into this and do your best to have it the way suggested by Caboose? Thank you. Okay, so now I'd like to move to other point, which kind of goes parallel to what we're doing, and is the continuing of what we have been doing in our previous meetings. Of course, the assessment of the public comments might take us in another way, but I feel like at least within the group, we have had agreement that we should be drafting some kind of wording to include in the bylaws and to be suggested in our next version of our draft document. So, since we seem to be in agreement that we should be having the proposed bylaw text and then from there build the document that would be the rationale and explanatory note for this, and having read through the public comments, to me the option that has found more traction in the community is the second option. That it's option two from our published draft document, and maybe some addition that we could do, or one refinement that we could do, is whether we actually refer to some kind of document or not. As I said, most of the comments suggest that we should definitely be referring to at least the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but this was an open-end issue, and I'd like to, of course, advance the discussion at this point on whether whether we should be actually referring to any kind of document, to a single document, to a series of documents. So I'd like to listen to your thoughts, and for that I hand the floor to Caboose.
Leon, two suggestions. One is, yes, if everybody agrees that we should have a reference document, we could do that, but the way we reference that document needs to be discussed, whether we want it to be under something like hyperlink or some other way, but that document would be for information only, is not part of the legal text that we provide. This is number one. Number two, my little experience indicates that you or we could write whatever we want in full agreement or consensus. But, however, we should think the implementation. If you write something and there is no criteria to implement that, it means that we're writing for ourselves. It is not implementable. If you refer to human rights and so on and so forth, and you would not put anything that could be implemented, then how you could say that whether I can have implement that or respected that or followed that or not? Because there is no criteria. It would be very, very difficult. This would be just a theory. So please kindly try to do something which at least have some degree of implementation process. Otherwise, we're writing for ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. And I know Matthew Shear's comment on that these are things that we would note in the analysis of the public comments. And while that is true, Matthew, I think, I don't think that it is something bad to continue our discussion, because I feel that even though we need to go through the review of public comments, the sentiment or the feeling of this group, at least this working party, is that we should definitely be addressing this as a matter of work stream one. So instead of, we still have time for this call, and instead of just adjourning and going to reviewing the public comments, I would like to advance the discussion on whether we could make this work in parallel to the comment analysis. I mean, if from the comments it is concluded that this would be a workstream 2 issue, then I mean that would of course be something different. But my feeling is that everyone is in agreement that this could be or this should be addressed by ICANN. The only thing is that we need some refinements, and if we do refine the language that we have been working, these comments might have already be addressed, and then it would be suitable to actually propose something as part of Workstream 1. So are there any objections of actually continue to wordsmith the proposed bylaw change in parallel with, of course, the assessment of the comments? Okay, I see no objections, and actually I see a green tick from Tatiana in this point. So I would kindly ask staff if we could display option 2, and why am I referring to option 2 is because I feel that we have widely discussed that option 1 is not an option, and if we would be looking towards meaning some kind of language, it would be option 2, and option 2 could you kindly please I think that might be caboose. Okay, so so our option 2 states that within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized fundamental human rights. And I see that upload is in process. And thank you very much. This is the draft text. And I see David McCauley scanned this up. David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Hi, it's David McCauley. If we are going to press forward with wordsmithing, I would make a suggestion here. And I appreciate the distinction that was made. I think it was during the Los Angeles meeting. Between the verb to respect and the verb to protect, and with respect being considered and seen within the CCWG, I believe, as pointing to a high-level principle that does not carry along with it obligations to open avenues for dispute resolution, which I think is important. And so I would say in another for avoidance of doubt clause following that sentence, that this is meant to be a high-level statement and not open the door to any dispute resolution of any kind, and that it may be further developed in conjunction with work parties or a work party that's currently working on human rights issues within ICANN. In other words, take account of the fact that within the ICANN community generally, there is more work being done separately, and hopefully in the future we can coordinate with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And yes, as a matter of fact, some of the comments, or most of the comments, actually raise the concern that whatever we do with the bylaws with regards to human rights, these addition or this amendment should absolutely in no way widen the scope of ICANN's mission, and of course should avoid at all costs having ICANN become a police on human rights in the domain name space. So I think that the difference between respect and protect is well noted, and we should drive our discussion with this in mind. So next in the queue, I have Caboose. Caboose, could you please take the floor?
Thank you very much, Leon. I had this discussion this morning in working Farsi too, and in particular here because your text is very, very general and good and address the issue. I don't think that you can use the verb will, because what you're saying that I can decided deterministically to do that. We cannot talk on behalf of I can. We could say I can shall be committed, but not will be committed. This is something that many big lawyers in your group, unfortunately, do not pay any attention, and they insist of the appearance of will. Will is not a verb which can be used in any legal. Will be used by someone who is speaking. I could say I will do that, or I will not do that, determining to do that. But the legal term, you cannot say I will. It should be an obligation, mandatory. So you could replace the will here by shall. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. This is a very important point. And we will be having whatever we come up to in this group will be reviewed by our external lawyers. And they could, of course, tweak any language that we have suggested, and that will then come back to us to see if we are in agreement or we reject any changes that the lawyers would actually do to our initial suggestion. Next on the queue, I have Greg Shatter.
Thanks. A couple of things. First, the point that Caboose makes, there's actually quite a bit of vibrant discussion among lawyers who draft for a living, at least part of the time, including myself, about the use of will versus shall in a variety of contexts. And if you want to spend endless happy hours reading divergent opinions on it, there are many. I'm pasting into the chat one article in the context of contract drafting, which is slightly different than bylaws drafting, but not a whole lot. Which proposes that shall should be banished from the drafting of contracts. I don't think we need to worry about this point yet. I have engaged in many happy hours of discussions about will and shall and may and other things and doubling up on words in contract drafting, et cetera. But it is a there's definitely a history around shall, that the history is being replaced to some extent by current events. In any case, the other thing, in terms of what David was saying, I think it's the note, at least as far as it started getting longer and longer, starts sounding like something that needs to be in our explanatory text and not in the bylaw itself. Again, we should be discussing how we want to limit this now. The bylaw text itself should be fairly short. It doesn't have to be all that short. We can add more to it that, so that there's stuff in it that has the force of bylaw. And we could, at this point, maybe we should be over-inclusive in terms of what we include in the bylaw, since, we're not, there's a number of steps between this and having a bylaw being voted into the bylaw. And so for now, we can kind of keep our thoughts in the bylaw, but we may find in the end that we're moving all or part of our thoughts off into explanatory text so that we're not stuck with a four-page bylaw. On an entirely separate point, I think that we do need to – my view is that we should be making reference to specific human rights documents, such as the Universal Convention. Lastly, the reference to fundamental human rights, I think, may be too narrow. The fundamental human rights are a subset of human rights, I think we had talked or one of our earlier meetings about making that fundamental rights and human rights, or fundamental and human rights. So I would suggest that be internationally recognized fundamental rights and human rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And I do think that Caboos has a point, but I also think that we don't have enough time to go deep into the discussion whether will or shall should be the right word. And I, of course, my study in different international treaties, I see both words come up usually or regularly. So my suggestion on the way forward is that instead of actually going into the discussion on whether we should say will or shall, we just submit one option that states will and one option that says shall to our lawyers and have them explain us the different legal implications that one voice or the other could have with regards to ICANN's mission. So I would say that that could be a way forward and a reasonable way for us to advance the discussion and focus in what we are tasked with. So I do share your point, Greg, and one point that might be missing, I think, is the reference to any particular document or treaty that deals with human rights. So I would suggest that since the comments signal us to actually refer to at least one document, I would suggest that we include the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a reference in this bylaw. And I have also been pointed to the work that's been ongoing in another working group within ICANN. Niels pointed me to this document that is a work in progress and that has a very useful language in it that we could take advantage of. And I would appreciate, Niels, if you could circulate the link to the document that you shared with me a couple of days ago to the rest of the working party, so we can have a look at it and, of course, take advantage of what others have already worked. And if we see it fits, we could take language that working party has been voice meeting so far. So next on the queue, I have Caboos. Caboos, could you please take the floor?
Or partly with Greg, fundamental human right is narrow. We do not miss anything if we remove totally fundamental. It would be more general and could cover everything, fundamental rights and fundamental and human rights and so on and so forth. I suggest that for the sake of time and clarity, we remove fundamental. For the first option I made, shall or will, I agree with you. Many things are used, shall, will, would, could, should, might, may, but it depends on the concept. It depends on the issue under discussion. However, here, I suggest that we would not use will, nor shall we say ICANN is committed or to be committed. Is committed is something that let's use present tense, is more or less similar to a mandatory, but in a different manner and different fashion to avoid between shall and will. ICANN is committed to respect. It has the same meaning as and the same application. So if you want to put options, this put one, this one as option three. ICANN is committed. And also delete fundamental because that is too narrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboos. And I'm looking at the discussion in the chat box on whether we should go with human rights or fundamental rights. My interpretation of this discussion in the chat box is that we should stick to human rights rather than fundamental. And if we all agree, then let's log this as an agreement of this group and drop the fundamental rights wording and substitute it by human rights. Okay, agreed. Excellent. So then we...
My hand is up.
I'm sorry, Greg. Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, there's a distinction here that we've just somehow steamrolled over. Fundamental human rights are a subset of human rights. Fundamental rights is a separate but corollary concept to human rights, as I understand it. So the point of not narrowing the list of human rights only to those human rights that are identified as fundamental human rights, I agree with. Removing any reference to fundamental rights is not something we've even discussed. So let's be clear on what we're agreeing to, please.
Okay, so what would you suggest then?
I suggested, what I suggested earlier was internationally recognized fundamental rights and human rights, or internationally recognized human rights and fundamental rights, if we want to put human rights first.
But to my mind, and I agree with what Marilia said in the chat box, and I might of course be mistaken, but when I read human rights, to me it encompasses fundamental rights. So I would be agreeing on dropping fundamental rights and only refer to human rights, but that's of course maybe a misunderstanding on my side.
My understanding, and I am not a human rights scholar. Is that fundamental rights is a separate concept. If I'm incorrect, and fundamental rights has no separate meaning other than as a subset, referring to the subset of fundamental human rights, then I withdraw my objection, but it's my understanding that fundamental rights is a separate but related concept, and at least in some of our prior calls and we have discussed adding the concept of fundamental rights so that it would be fundamental and human rights.
Thank you very much for this. Next on the queue, I have Aubrey.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking, and again, apologies for missing the first hour. I had to chair a different meeting. I think that, you know, that there is no definition that one can point to of fundamental rights that are not a subset of human rights. And so I think saying fundamental and human rights becomes problematic in when you have to define what you mean about fundamental rights. I don't know of there being any way to define them outside of the scope of human rights. When you say fundamental human rights, what you're trying to say is that there's some subset of human rights that are more fundamental than the other human rights, which again becomes a problematic construction. So I find it hard to understand how either of those would be appropriate, how either of those would add meaning that could be understood. And just a simple reference to human rights includes rights that are considered fundamental and such. So I don't believe that there's any, you know, scholarly reference that makes a distinction either within human rights or separate from human rights. Though, of course, there are some rights that are considered more applicable in some places than others. It doesn't make them more fundamental than others. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery, and I see that there are people agreeing to what you just said. I personally agree with you too. So next on the floor, I have Marilia.
Thanks, Leon. This is Marilia speaking. So from a very general international law standpoint, which is where I come from, when we talk about fundamental rights, we usually are talking about rights recognized in a particular jurisdiction. So let's say the fundamental rights that are recognized in a particular institution. When we talk about the international level, the expression that we use is usually only human rights. If we put fundamental human rights, besides the point that Avi made, that we are kind of classifying rights and saying that some are more fundamental than others, we may create a double interpretation. Because when we look at human rights, we have some human rights that are recognized as jus cogens, which is the human rights that cannot be derogated or set aside in any context. Even if we are living a war, for instance, like the prohibition of genocide or torture, or these are recognized as rights that you cannot derogate. So when we talk about fundamental human rights, we may be interpreted as talking about jus cogens that honestly do not apply very well to what we are talking about in ICAN's remit, like genocide and torture. So I would go with a expression that is more general and used in international context, which is human rights. But I think that this is one good question for us to formulate and confirm this interpretation with the external lawyers that we are hiring. What is the most neutral and international recognized expression? Because, of course, if we go to the regional system, legal system, we will find expressions such as human rights and fundamental freedoms, which is the expression that is preferred in Europe. The instruments from the Council of Europe, for instance, they tend to use this expression. But this has like a historical regional explanation behind it. And since we are drafting a document here that would be as general and as cross-cultural as possible, I think that we should go for the expression that is also more general and it is human rights. But I would ask that this point is added in the conversation with the external lawyers. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Marilia. And I see a comment from Mark Carvel that seems to be particularly useful at this stage, which he says, the text of the Council of Europe Declaration on ICAN, which I referred to on Saturday, says internationally recognized human rights laws and standards. So I guess that would be a way forward for our WIDS meeting. I would think that maybe we could add this same text to the proposed bylaw that we have in the screen, and it could read something like, within its mission and its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized human rights laws and standards, and that I think could be the way forward in this discussion. I don't know what others think, but I think that could be a way forward. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, and that would definitely, in my view at least, address the issue on human rights. So I see that Tatiana says that it looks good to her. David McCauley also likes the idea. And I see, Greg, you have your hand raised. Please take the floor.
Yeah, the Council of Europe Declaration, I guess, does not make reference to any particular human rights laws and standards. I guess, are we now getting away from what it seemed to be many of the comments suggested, which is to make reference to particular universally recognized or internationally recognized human rights laws and standards. And I guess laws and standards is a little bit different because the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I guess, is not a law. Maybe it can be defined as a standard. So we're getting off into something a little bit different. I think the formulation, internationally recognized human rights laws and standards, probably better than our formulation of internationally recognized human rights. So in that sense, I support that as an improvement on our language, but not to the exclusion of considering whether we're going to make reference to some things more specific than that. Thanks.
Okay, so I suggest that in order to have an improvement in this wording, we add this wording that Mark pointed out, and we leave it and wait until we have the assessment on the public comments, and that would give us light on whether we should be coming back to the discussion on the reference to certain documents or particular documents with regards to human rights, or whether we can leave it in this broad and open way that we're suggesting at this point. So I see that Marilla says that this sounds good, and Tatiana is saying that after the public comments we better to consider reference to documents, and she's not convinced that it's a good idea, and I think that it's to with regards to the reference to documents, but I might be mistaken. So I would suggest that we modify this this wording to add Mark Carvel's suggestion. I will circulate this improved text to the list so we can have it as a reference for our way forward. And we can also do, as I was saying, in parallel, the assessment on the public comments. And after we get that, we then would have more clarity on whether we should revisit the concept on referring to any particular human rights document or convention, or whether we can just continue to build the rationale and the explanatory note to this phrasing that we have just put together now. So we are almost reaching the top of the hour, and I would like to open the floor for any other business or comments. And of course, thanks, Mark, for pointing to this text, which has made us improve our actual wording on the suggested bylaw. So, are there any other business or any other comments? I remind you that you already have
Leon. I am
yes,
off internet. I have only audio. Could you allow me to talk?
Of course, please do, Caboose.
Yeah. Leon, let me admire the way that you are conducting the meeting. Very, very efficient, very democrat, and fair and fair. I congratulate you, and I hope that you continue like this in other areas. You're dealing with a very, very difficult, delicate subject, and I continue to support the way you're conducting the meeting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Caboose. That is very flattering, and I feel very honored with your words. And I remind you that you already have the doodle poll in your inbox, so please don't let it rest there, and if you are able to fill it in as we speak or as we end this meeting, that would be most helpful, because we could lock the slot for our meeting on October 6th. So are there any other business that anyone would like to comment at this point? Okay, so having no other business or issues to take care at this meeting, I would like to thank everyone for your attendance to this call. I would like to thank staff for their support, and this call is now adjourned. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.